In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So today we arrive at September, the ninth month of the year. Did you ever wonder why September is the ninth month? The prefix S-E-P-T, sept, means seven. Always has, probably always will. Likewise, October is the 10th month. But O-C-T, oct, means 8, not 10. N-O-V means 9, not 11. And D-E-C means 10, not 12. Did you ever wonder? Did you ever notice? Do you even care? Well, the reason is the Roman calendar used to begin on March 1st, not on January 1st, which would have made September the seventh month, and that's how it got the S-E-P-T prefix, and the months following have the prefixes they have. And then going around, February was the last month of the year. Did you ever wonder why leap days are added to February? Or did you not care? It's because leap days were added to the end of the year, which at the time meant the end of February. Well, around the time of Christ, March 1st was New Year's Day, the civil new year. But there was another force affecting the calendar. If you're an emperor and you're going to tax your colonies, what was the best time of year to do that in ancient times? Certainly not March 1st, not coming off of winter. No, you want to tax at harvest time when wealth is at its peak. And so they had the date called indiction, which meant to impose taxes. Indiction, it was called. It was tax time. So even though the civil year began March 1st, tax year began September 1st. By the time Constantine becomes emperor, the March 1st date had lost all its cachet. And the fiscal year, the tax year, was all people cared about, this September 1st indiction date. But there was also this other group, this other subset of Roman society developing their own calendar. And this group was called by a name that should be familiar to you, Christians. Christians. And following the trend of culture, they began their new year also on September 1st. Now, I don't bring all this up just as a history lesson, but today being September 1st means that today is the church new year. And I'm inspired by the first line in the Kentucky of the Feast, which is on the back of your bulletin, where we proclaim and praise God as the creator and master of time. The creator and master of time. Isn't that beautiful? The creator and master of time and all the ages. So while there are historical reasons and developments of our earthly calendars, as Christians, we are more concerned with how our measurements of time point us to time's creator, point us to time's master. In the gospel passage we just read, when Jesus goes into the synagogue and opens up the scripture that was given to him to Isaiah and reads, according to tradition of the church, this actually took place on September 1st, Indiction Day, Tax Day. And in fact, if you look at the Typikon, even go to the OCA website, I think your sheet music even still says that, it still says Indiction in the church. The church has kept the term for Tax Day all these centuries later for the church New Year, the day when the forces of this world descend on you and take. Of course, I'm not opposed to paying my share of taxes, but there's something symbolic here, especially when one considers the corrupt way taxes were collected back then. But the church begins its new year on the day the earthly powers are symbolically sinking their fingers into you, and Jesus appears in the synagogue, and listen to what he says. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." It does not sound like the tax man. The acceptable year of the Lord. What is the year of the Lord, and how is it different from the world's year? And what is the year to the Creator and Master of time? Well, to the Lord, the acceptable year is not taking, but giving. The very opposite, the very contrast. The year in which the poor get good news. The year in which the blind see. The year in which the brokenhearted are healed. The year in which the oppressed are somehow set free of that which oppresses them. It is the year in which we use time for the glory of God and the service of those who are broken. And the church intentionally sets this in contrast to the world's measure of time, the world's indiction, the imposition of taxes. Now, we heard in Ephesians that we are called to redeem time because the days are evil. The year of the Lord is the year in which time itself is redeemed. How often do we hear someone, maybe even ourselves, say, "I'd love to make some changes, but I don't have the time." Let me let you in on a little secret. Everybody gets the same amount of time. I don't mean the same amount lifespan. Nobody gets the same amount that way. But I mean we all get 24 hours in a day, and we all get 7 days in a week. Or people say, "I wasted so much time on the computer or binge watching, I don't know, The Office on Netflix." Well, time is not so much wasted by the idle things we do. Time is wasted by the good and righteous things we fail to do. When another month goes by, another year goes by, and we haven't yet opened our Bible, we haven't yet begun a rule of prayer, we haven't yet begun to increase our liturgical worship, but also when time goes by and we have failed to free someone who is oppressed, when we have failed to help the poor, when we have failed to defend the vulnerable or heal the brokenhearted or given freedom to anybody that is oppressed. Time is wasted by the good things we put off far more than by the idle things we do. And when you do something good and something righteous and something sacred, you have redeemed at least 1 hour from the brokenness of the world because the days are evil. I mean, who cares about Netflix if you can say, honestly, "This hour I genuinely helped someone experience the love of God in a meaningful way, in a tangible way"? That is time redeemed. And if not you, who? If not you, then who? If God is the creator and master of time, then his followers are redeemers of time. And this church new year is given us as a reminder that the gift of time is both precious, but also fragile, also fleeting. And we don't have the civil and social calendars to line up and remind us of the church new year the way they did in ancient Rome, with perhaps one exception, and I don't mean football season, but the new year for the church does begin with our school new year. And whether public school or Sunday school, those do line up with the church year in our society, and maybe they can at least help remind us. But either way, church new year is upon us. We are called to redeem time. And while these measurements of time and years may have all kinds of historical reasons and historical changes, let our measurement of years and time point us to the Creator and Master of time, that we, as his servants, may begin to redeem even this hour. Amen.
Amen.